Introduction to Evolution. This sound file contains the spoken version of a Wikipedia article on Introduction to Evolution. The material recorded is current as on the 8th of December, 2010. The sound recording of this article has been made into four parts. You are listening to the first part, which contains the introduction and contents. The second part contains Section 1, Natural Selection. The third part contains Section 2 to 4, which deal with the topics of Source of Variation, Genetic Drift, and Modern Evolutionary Synthesis. The fourth part is the last part and contains Section 5 to 8, which deal with Evidence for Evolution, Coevolution, Species, and Mechanism. The first part begins now. Introduction to Evolution. From Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. Introduction. Evolution is the process of change in all forms of life over generations, and evolutionary biology is the study of how evolution occurs. The biodiversity of life evolves by means of mutations, genetic drift, and natural selection. The process of natural selection is based on three conditions. First, all individuals are supplied with hereditary material in the form of genes that are received from their parents, then passed on to their offspring. Second, organisms tend to produce more offspring than the environment can support. Third, there are variations among offspring as a consequence of either the introduction of new genes via random changes called mutations, or reshuffling of existing genes during sexual reproduction. When these three conditions hold true, natural selection will occur. This means individuals will not have equal chances of reproductive success. Some individuals have a higher degree of fitness, a measure of success based on high numbers of surviving offspring. Traits that result in organisms being better adapted to their living conditions become more common in descendant populations. For this reason, populations will never remain exactly the same over successive generations. The forces of evolution are most evident when populations become isolated, either through geographic distance or by mechanisms that prevent genetic exchange. Over time, isolated populations can branch off into new species. Random genetic drift describes another process that regulates evolution. The majority of genetic mutations neither assist, change the appearance of, nor bring harm to individuals. These mutated genes are neutrally sorted among populations and survive across generations by chance alone. In contrast to genetic drift, natural selection is not a random process because it acts on traits that are necessary for survival. Natural selection and random genetic drift are constant and dynamic parts of life. More than 99.9% of all species have become extinct since life began over 3.5 billion years ago. Evolution is more death than survival, and over time, this has shaped the branching structure in the tree of life. A modern understanding of evolution began with the 1859 publication of Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species. In addition, Gregor Mendel's work with plants helped to explain the hereditary pattern of genetics. Fossil discoveries in paleontology, advances in population genetics, and a global network of scientific research have provided further details into the mechanisms of evolution. Scientists now have a good understanding of the origin of new species, speciation, and have observed the speciation process in the laboratory and in the wild. Evolution is the principal theory that biologists use to understand life. It is used in many disciplines, including medicine, psychology, conservation biology, anthropology, forensics, agriculture, and other social-cultural applications. We now come to the end of the spoken article, Introduction to Evolution, Part 1. The next part contains Section 1, Natural Selection. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 Unported License, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0. Introduction to Evolution. Part 2. Natural Selection. This sound file contains the spoken version of a Wikipedia article on Introduction to Evolution. The material recorded is current as on the 8th of December, 2010. You are listening to the second part of the sound recording, which contains Section 1, Natural Selection. Introduction to Evolution. From Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. Section 1. Natural Selection. In the 19th century, natural history collections and museums were a popular pastime. The European expansion and naval expeditions employed naturalists and curators of grand museums showcasing preserved and live specimens of the varieties of life. Charles Darwin was an English graduate who was educated and trained in the disciplines of natural history science. Such natural historians would collect, catalog, describe, and study the vast collections of specimens stored and managed by curators at these museums. Charles Darwin served as a ship's naturalist on board the HMS Beagle, assigned to a 5-year research expedition around the world. During his voyage, Darwin observed and collected an abundance of organisms, being very interested in the diverse forms of life along the coasts of South America and the neighboring Galapagos Islands. Charles Darwin gained extensive experience as he collected and studied the natural history of life forms from different places. Through his studies, Darwin formulated the idea that each species had developed from ancestors with similar features. In 1838, he described how a process he called natural selection would make this happen. Darwin's idea of how evolution works relied on the following observations. 1. If all the individuals of a species reproduced successfully, the population of that species would increase uncontrollably. 2. Populations tend to remain about the same size from year to year. 3. Environmental resources are limited. 4. No two individuals in a given species are exactly alike. And 5. Much of this variation in a population can be passed on to offspring. Darwin deduced that since organisms produce more offspring than their environment could possibly support, there must be a competitive struggle for survival. Only a few individuals can survive out of each generation. Darwin realized that it was not chance alone that determined survival. Instead, survival depends on the traits of each individual, and if these traits aid or hinder survival and reproduction. Well-adapted or fit individuals are likely to leave more offspring than their less well-adapted competitors. Darwin realized that the unequal ability of individuals to survive and reproduce could cause gradual changes in the population. Traits that help an organism survive and reproduce would accumulate over generations. On the other hand, traits that hinder survival and reproduction would disappear. Darwin used the term natural selection to describe this process. Natural selection is commonly equated with survival of the fittest, but this expression originated in Herbert Spencer's Principles of Biology in 1864, after Charles Darwin published his original works. Survival of the fittest describes the process of natural selection incorrectly, because natural selection is not only about survival, and it is not always the fittest that survives. Observations of variations in animals and plants formed the basis of the theory of natural selection. For example, Darwin observed that orchids and insects have a close relationship that allows the pollination of the plants. He noted that orchids have a variety of structures that attract insects so that pollen from the flowers gets stuck to the insects' bodies. In this way, insects transport the pollen from a male to a female orchid. In spite of the elaborate appearance of orchids, these specialized parts are made from the same basic structures that make up other flowers. In Fertilization of Orchids, Darwin proposed that the orchid flowers did not represent the work of an ideal engineer, but were adapted from pre-existing parts through natural selection. Darwin was still researching and experimenting with his ideas on natural selection when he received a letter from Alfred Wallace describing a theory very similar to his own. This led to an immediate joint publication of both theories. Both Wallace and Darwin saw the history of life like a family tree, with each fork in the tree's limbs being a common ancestor. The tips of the limbs represented modern species, and the branches represented the common ancestors that are shared amongst many different species. To explain these relationships, Darwin said that all living things were related, and this meant that all life must be descended from a few forms, or even with a single common ancestor. He called this process descent with modification. Darwin published his theory of evolution by natural selection in On the Origin of Species in 1859. His theory meant that all life, including humanity, is a product of continuing natural processes. The implication that all life on Earth has a common ancestor has met with objections from some religious groups who believe even today that the different types of life are due to special creation. Their objections are in contrast to the level of support for the theory by more than 99% of those within the scientific community today. We now come to the end of the spoken article, Introduction to Evolution, Part 2. The next part of the recording, Part 3, contains Section 2 to 4, which deal with the topics of source of variation, genetic drift, and modern evolutionary synthesis. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 Unported License, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0. Introduction to Evolution, Part 2, Section 2, Source of Variation. Darwin's theory of natural selection laid the groundwork for modern evolutionary theory, and his experiments and observations showed that the organisms and populations varied from each other, that some of these variations were inherited, and that these differences could be acted on by natural selection. However, he could not explain the source of these variations. Like many of his predecessors, Darwin mistakenly thought that hereditable traits were a product of use and disuse, and that features acquired during an organism's lifetime could be passed on to its offspring. He looked for examples such as large ground-feeding birds getting stronger legs through exercise and weaker wings from not flying until, like the ostrich, they could not fly at all. This misunderstanding was called the inheritance of acquired characters and was part of the theory of transmutation of species, put forward in 1809 by Jean-Baptiste Lamarck. In the late 19th century, this theory became known as Lamarckism. Darwin produced an unsuccessful theory he called pangenesis to try to explain how acquired characteristics could be inherited. In the 1880s, August Weismann's experiments indicated that changes from use and disuse could not be inherited, and Lamarckism gradually fell from favor. This missing information needed to help explain how new features could pass from a parent to its offspring was provided by the pioneering genetics work of Gregor Mendel. Mendel's experiments with several generations of pea plants demonstrated that inheritance works by separating and reshuffling hereditary information during the formation of sex cells and recombining that information during fertilization. This is like mixing different hands of cards, with an organism getting a random mix of half of the cards from one parent and half of the cards from the other. Mendel called the information factors. However, later, they became known as genes. Genes are the basic units of heredity in living organisms. They contain the information that directs the physical development and behavior of organisms. Genes are made from DNA, a long molecule that carries information. This information is encoded in the sequence of nucleotides in the DNA, just as the sequence of the letters in words carries information on the page. The genes are like short instructions built up of the letters of the DNA alphabet. Put together, the entire set of these genes gives enough information to serve as an instruction manual of how to build and run an organism. The instructions spelled out by this DNA alphabet can be changed, however, by mutations, and this may alter the instructions carried within the genes. Within the cell, the genes are carried in chromosomes, which are packages for carrying the DNA, with the genes arranged along them like beads on a string. It is the reshuffling of the chromosomes that result in unique combinations of genes in offspring. Since genes interact with one another during the development of an organism, novel combinations of genes produced by sexual reproduction can increase the genetic variability of the population even without new mutations. The genetic variability of a population can also increase when members of that population interbreed with individuals from a different population, causing gene flow between the populations. This can introduce genes into a population that were not present before. Evolution is not a random process. Evolution is not a random process. Although mutations in DNA are random, natural selection is not a process of chance. The environment determines the probability of reproductive success. Evolution is an inevitable result of imperfect copying, self-replicating organisms reproducing over billions of years under the selective pressure of the environment. The outcome of evolution is not a perfectly designed organism. The end products of natural selections are organisms that are adapted to their present environments. Natural selection does not involve progress towards an ultimate goal. Evolution does not strive for more advanced, more intelligent, or more sophisticated life forms. For example, fleas, wingless parasites, are descended from a winged ancestral scorpion fly, and snakes are lizards that no longer require limbs, although pythons still grow tiny structures that are the remains of their ancestors' hind legs. Organisms are merely the outcome of variations that succeed or fail, dependent upon the environmental conditions at the time. Rapid environmental changes typically cause extinctions. Of all species that have existed on Earth, 99.9% are now extinct. Since life began on Earth, 5 major mass extinctions have led to large and sudden drops in the variety of species. The most recent, the Cretaceous-Tertiary extinction event, occurred 65 million years ago and has attracted more attention than all others because it killed the dinosaurs. Genetic drift. Genetic drift is a cause of allelic frequency change within populations of a species. Alleles are different variations of specific genes. They determine things like hair color, skin tone, eye color, blood type, and whether you can roll your tongue. In other words, all the genetic traits that vary between persons. Genetic drift does not introduce new alleles to a population, but it can reduce variation within a population by removing an allele from the gene pool. Genetic drift is caused by random sampling of alleles. A truly random sample is a sample in which no outside forces affect what is selected. It is like pulling marbles of the same size and weight, but of different colors, from a brown paper bag. In any offspring, the alleles present are samples of the previous generation's alleles, and chance plays a role in whether an individual survives to reproduce and to pass a sample of their generation onward to the next. The allelic frequency of a population is the ratio of the copies of one specific allele that share the same form compared to the number of all forms of the allele present in the population. Genetic drift affects smaller populations more than it affects larger populations. The Hardy-Weinberg principle. The Hardy-Weinberg principle states that a large population in Hardy-Weinberg equilibrium will have no change in the frequency of alleles as generations pass. It is impossible for a population of any considerable size to reach this equilibrium because of the 5 requirements that must be met. A population must be infinite in size. There must be a 0% mutation rate between generations because mutations can alter existing alleles or create new ones. There can be no immigration or emigration in the population, because individuals arriving and leaving directly change allelic frequencies. There can be no selective pressures of any kind on the population, meaning that no individual is more likely than any other to survive and reproduce. Finally, mating must be totally random, with all males, or females in some cases, being equally desirable mates. This ensures a true random mixing of alleles. A population that is in Hardy-Weinberg equilibrium is analogous to a deck of cards. No matter how many times the deck is shuffled, no new cards are added and no old ones are taken away. Cards in the deck represent alleles in the population's gene pool. Population bottleneck. A population bottleneck is when the population of a species is reduced drastically over a short period of time due to external forces. In a true population bottleneck, the reduction does not favor any combination of alleles. It is totally random chance which individuals survive. A bottleneck can reduce or eliminate genetic variation from a population. Further drift events after the bottleneck event can also reduce the population's genetic diversity. A lack of diversity created can make the population at risk to other selective pressures. A common example of a population bottleneck is the northern elephant seal. Due to excessive hunting throughout the 19th century, the population of the northern elephant seal was reduced to 30 individuals or less. They have made a full recovery, with the total number of individuals at around 100,000 and growing. The effects of the bottleneck are visible, however. The seals are more likely to have serious problems with disease or genetic disorders because there is almost no diversity in the population. Founder effect. The founder effect occurs when a small group from one population splits off and forms a new population, often through geographic isolation. This new population's allelic frequency is probably different from the original populations and will change how common certain alleles are in the populations. The founders of the population will determine the genetic makeup and, potentially, the survival of the new population for generations. One example of the founder effect is found in the Amish migration to Pennsylvania in 1744. Two of the founders of the colony in Pennsylvania carried the recessive allele for Ellis Van Creveld syndrome. Because the Amish tend to be religious isolates, they interbreed. And through generations of this practice, the frequency of Ellis Van Creveld syndrome in the Amish people is much higher than the frequency in the general population. Modern synthesis. The modern evolutionary synthesis was based on the concept that populations of organisms had significant genetic variation caused by mutation and the recombination of genes during sexual reproduction. It's defined evolution as the shift of gene frequencies within a population caused by random genetic drift, gene flow between subpopulations, and natural selection, with natural selection emphasized as the most important mechanism of evolution. Large changes were the result of the gradual accumulation of small changes over long periods of time. The modern evolutionary synthesis was the outcome of a merger of several different scientific fields to produce a more cohesive understanding of evolutionary theory. In the 1920s, R.A. Fisher, J.B.S. Haldane, and Sewell Wright combined Darwin's theory of natural selection with statistical models of Mendelian genetics, founding the discipline of population genetics. In the 1930s and 1940s, efforts were made to merge population genetics, the observation of field naturalists on the distribution of species and subspecies, and analysis of the fossil record, into a unified explanatory model. The application of the principles of genetics to naturally occurring populations by scientists such as Theodosius Dobzhansky and Ernst Mayr advanced the understanding of the processes of evolution. Dobzhansky's 1937 work, Genetics and the Origin of Species, helped bridge the gap between genetics and field biology by presenting the mathematical work of the population geneticists in a form more useful to field biologists, and by showing that wild populations had much more genetic variability with geographically isolated subspecies and reservoirs of genetic diversity in recessive genes than the models of the early population geneticists had allowed for. Mayr, on the basis of an understanding of genes and direct observations of evolutionary processes from field research, introduced the biological species concept, which defined a species as a group of interbreeding or potentially interbreeding populations that are reproductively isolated from all other populations. Both Dubzanski and Mayer emphasized the importance of subspecies reproductively isolated by geographical barriers and the emergence of new species. The paleontologist George Gaylord Simpson helped to incorporate paleontology with a statistical analysis of the fossil record that showed a pattern consistent with the branching, a non-directional pathway of evolution of organisms predicted by the modern synthesis. We now come to the end of the spoken article, Introduction to Evolution, Part 3. The next part of the recording, Part 4, contains sections 5 through 8, which deal with the topics of evidence for evolution, co-evolution, species, and mechanism. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 Unported License, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0. This sound file contains the spoken version of a Wikipedia article on Introduction to Evolution. The material recorded is current as on the 8th of December, 2010. You are listening to the fourth and last part of the sound recording, which contains section 5 to 8, which deal with evidence for evolution, co-evolution, species, and mechanism. Introduction to Evolution. From Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. Section 5. Evidence for Evolution. Scientific evidence for evolution comes from many aspects of biology and includes fossils, homologous structure, and molecular similarities between species DNA. Fossil record. Research in the field of paleontology, or study of fossils, support the idea that all living organisms are related. Fossils provide evidence that accumulated changes in organisms over long periods of time have led to the diverse forms of life we see today. A fossil itself reveals the organism's structure and the relationships between present and extinct species, allowing paleontologists to construct a family tree for all the life forms on Earth. Modern paleontology began with the work of Georges Cuvier, 1769 to 1832. Cuvier noted that in sedimentary rock, each layer contained a specific group of fossils. The deeper layers, which he proposed to be older, contained simpler life forms. He noted that many forms of life from the past are no longer present today. One of Cuvier's successful contributions to the understanding of the fossil record was establishing extinction as a fact. In an attempt to explain extinction, Cuvier proposed the idea of, quote, revolutions, end quote, or catastrophism, in which he speculated that geological catastrophes had occurred throughout the Earth's history, wiping out large numbers of species. Cuvier's theory of revolutions was later replaced by uniformitarian theories, notably those of James Hutton and Charles Lyell, who proposed that the Earth's geological changes were gradual and consistent. However, current evidence in the fossil record supports the concept of mass extinctions. As a result, the general idea of catastrophism has re-emerged as a valid hypothesis for at least some of the rapid changes in life forms that appear in the fossil record. A very large number of fossils have now been discovered and identified. These fossils serve as a chronological record of evolution. The fossil record provides examples of transitional species that demonstrate ancestral links between past and present forms. One such transitional fossil is Archaeopteryx, an ancient organism that had the distinct characteristics of a reptile, such as a long bony tail and conical teeth, yet also had characteristics of birds, such as feathers and a wishbone. The implication that such a find is that modern reptiles and birds arose from a common ancestor. Comparative anatomy. The comparison of similarities between organisms of their form or appearance of parts, called their morphology, has long been a way to classify life into closely related groups. This can be done by comparing the structure of adult organisms in different species, or by comparing the patterns of how cells grow, divide, and even migrate during an organism's development. Taxonomy. Taxonomy is the branch of biology that names and classifies all living things. Scientists use morphological and genetic similarities to assist them in categorizing life forms based on ancestral relationships. For example, orangutans, gorillas, chimpanzees, and humans all belong to the same taxonomic grouping referred to as a family. In this case, a family called hominidae. These animals are grouped together because of similarities in morphology that come from common ancestry called homology. Strong evidence for evolution comes from the analysis of homologous structures. Structures in different species that no longer perform the same task but share a similar structure. Such is the case of the forelimbs of mammals. The forelimbs of a human, cat, whale, and bat all have strikingly similar bone structures. However, each of these four species' forelimbs performs a different task. The same bones that construct a bat's wings, which are used for flight, also construct a whale's flippers, which are used for swimming. Such a, quote, design, end quote, makes little sense if they are unrelated and uniquely constructed for their particular task. The theory of evolution explains these homologous structures. All four animals shared a common ancestor, and each has undergone change over many generations. These changes in structure have produced forelimbs adapted for different tasks. However, anatomical comparisons can be misleading, as not all anatomical similarities indicate a close relationship. Organisms that share similar environments will often develop similar physical features, a process known as convergent evolution. Both sharks and dolphins have similar body forms, yet are only distantly related. Sharks are fish, and dolphins are mammals. Such similarities are a result of both populations being exposed to the same selective pressures. Within both groups, changes that aid swimming have been favored. Thus, over time, they developed similar appearances, morphology, even though they are not closely related. Embryology. In some cases, anatomical comparison of structures in the embryos of two or more species provides evidence for a shared ancestor that may not be obvious in the adult forms. As the embryo develops, these homologies can be lost to view, and the structures can take on different functions. Part of the basis of classifying the vertebrate group, which includes humans, is the presence of a tail extending beyond the anus, and pharyngeal slits. Both structures appear during some stage of embryonic development, but are not always obvious in the adult form. Because of the morphological similarities present in embryos of different species during development, it was once assumed that organisms reenact their evolutionary history as an embryo. It was thought that human embryos passed through an amphibian, then a reptilian stage before completing their development as mammals. Such a reenactment, often called recapitulation theory, is not supported by scientific evidence. What does occur, however, is that the first stages of development are similar in broad groups of organisms. At very early stages, for instance, all vertebrates appear extremely similar but do not exactly resemble any ancestral species. As development continues, specific features emerge from this basic pattern. Vestigial structures. Homology includes a unique group of shared structures referred to as vestigial structures. Vestigial refers to anatomical parts that are of minimal, if any, value to the organism that possesses them. These apparently illogical structures are remnants of organs that played an important role in ancestral terms. Such is the case in whales, which have small vestigial bones that appear to be remnants of the leg bones of their ancestors, which walked on land. Humans also have vestigial structures, including the ear muscles, the wisdom teeth, the appendix, the tailbone, body hair, including goosebumps, and the semilunar fold in the corner of the eye. Biogeography. Biogeography is the study of the geographical distribution of species. Evidence from biogeography, especially from the biogeography of oceanic islands, played a key role in convincing both Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace that species evolved the branching pattern of common descent. Islands often contain endemic species, or species not found anywhere else, but those species are often related to species found on the nearest continent. Furthermore, islands often contain clusters of closely related species that have very different ecological niches. That is, have different ways of making a living in the environment. Such clusters form through a process of adaptive radiation, where a single ancestral species colonizes an island that has a variety of open ecological niches, and then diversifies by evolving into different species adapted to fill those empty niches. Well-studied examples include Darwin's finches, a group of 13 finch species endemic to the Galapagos Islands, and the Hawaiian honeycreepers, a group of birds that once, before extinction caused by humans, numbered 60 species fitting diverse ecological roles, all descended from a single finch-like ancestor that arrived on the Hawaiian Islands some 4 million years ago. Another example is the Silver Sword Alliance, a group of perennial plant species also endemic to the Hawaiian Islands that inhabit a variety of habitats and come in a variety of shapes and sizes that include trees, shrubs, and ground-hugging mats, but which can be hybridized by one another and with certain tarweed species found on the west coast of North America. It appears that one of those tarweeds colonized Hawaii in the past and gave rise to the entire Silver Sword Alliance. Molecular biology. Every living organism, with the possible exception of RNA viruses, contains molecules of DNA, which carries genetic information. Genes are the pieces of DNA that carry this information, and they influence the properties of an organism. Genes determine an individual's general appearance and, to some extent, their behavior. If two organisms are closely related, their DNA will be very similar. On the other hand, the more distantly related two organisms are, the more differences they will have. For example, brothers are closely related and have very similar DNA, while cousins share a more distant relationship and have far more differences in their DNA. Similarities in DNA are used to determine the relationships between species in much of the same manner as they are used to show relationships between individuals. For example, comparing chimpanzees with gorillas and humans shows that there is as much as a 96% similarity between the DNA of humans and chimps. Comparisons of DNA indicate that humans and chimpanzees are more closely related to each other than either species is to gorillas. The field of molecular systematics focuses on measuring the similarities in these molecules and using this information to work out how different types of organisms are related through evolution. These comparisons have allowed biologists to build a relationship tree of the evolution of life on Earth. They have even allowed scientists to unravel the relationships between organisms whose common ancestors lived such a long time ago that no real similarities remain in the appearance of the organisms. Artificial selection. Artificial selection is the controlled breeding of domestic plants and animals. Humans determine which animal or plant will reproduce and which of the offspring will survive. Thus, they determine which genes will be passed on to future generations. The process of artificial selection has had a significant impact on the evolution of domestic animals. For example, people have produced different types of dogs by controlled breeding. The differences in size between the Chihuahua and the Great Dane are the result of artificial selection. Despite their dramatically different physical appearance, they, and all other dogs, evolved from a few wolves domesticated by humans in what is now China less than 15,000 years ago. Artificial selection has produced a wide variety of plants. In the case of maize, or corn, recent genetic domestication, the edible portion of the wild form, was small and difficult to collect. Today, the Maize Genetics Corporation Stock Center maintains a collection of more than 10,000 genetic variations of maize that have arisen by random mutations and chromosomal variations from the original wild type. In artificial selection, the new breed or variety that emerges is the one with random mutations attractive to humans, while in natural selection, the surviving species is the one with random mutations useful to it in its non-human environment. In both natural and artificial selection, the variations are a result of random mutations, and the underlying genetic processes are essentially the same. Darwin carefully observed on the outcomes of artificial selection in animals and plants to form many of his arguments in support of natural selection. Much of his book, On the Origin of Species, was based on these observations of the many varieties of domestic pigeons arising from natural selection. Darwin proposed that if humans could achieve dramatic changes in domestic animals in short periods, then natural selection, given millions of years, could produce the differences seen in living things today. Coevolution. Coevolution is a process in which two or more species influence the evolution of each other. All organisms are influenced by life around them. However, in co-evolution, there is evidence that genetically determined traits in each species directly resulted from the interaction between two organisms. An extensively documented case of co-evolution is the relationship between Pseudomyrmex, a type of ant, and the acacia, a plant that the ant uses for food and shelter. The relationship between the two is so intimate that it has led to the evolution of special structures and behaviors in both organisms. The ant defends the acacia against herbivores and clears the forest floor of the seeds from competing plants. In response, the plant has evolved swollen thorns that the ants use as shelter and special flower parts that the ants eat. Such co-evolution does not imply that the ants and the tree choose to behave in an altruistic manner. Rather, across a population, small genetic changes in both ant and tree benefited each. The benefit gave a slightly higher chance of the characteristic being passed on to the next generation. Over time, successive mutations created the relationship we observe today. Species. Given the right circumstances and enough time, evolution leads to the emergence of new species. Scientists have struggled to find a precise and all-inclusive definition of species. Ernst Mayr, 1904 to 2005, defined a species as a population or group of populations whose members have the potential to interbreed naturally with one another to produce viable fertile offspring. The members of a species cannot produce viable fertile offspring with members of other species. Mayr's definition has gained wide acceptance among biologists, but does not apply to organisms such as bacteria, which reproduce asexually. Speciation is the lineage-splitting event that results in two separate species forming from a single common ancestral population. A widely accepted method of speciation is called allopatric speciation, begins when a population becomes geographically separated. Geological processes, such as the emergence of mountain ranges, the formation of canyons, or the flooding of land bridges by changes in sea level, may result in separate populations. For speciation to occur, separation must also be substantial, so that genetic exchange between the two populations is completely disrupted. In their separate environments, the genetically isolated groups follow their own unique evolutionary pathways. Each group will accumulate different mutations, as well as be subjected to different selective pressures. The accumulated genetic changes may result in separated populations that can no longer interbreed if they are reunited. Barriers that prevent interbreeding are either prezygotic, prevent mating or fertilization, or postzygotic, barriers that occur after fertilization. If interbreeding is no longer possible, then they will be considered different species. The result of 4 billion years of evolution is the diversity of life around us, with an estimated 1.75 million different species in existence today. Usually, the processes of speciation is slow, occurring over very long time spans. Thus, direct observations within human lifespans are rare. However, speciation has been observed in present-day organisms, and past speciation events are recorded in fossils. Scientists have documented the formation of 5 new species of Kitchlid fishes from a single common ancestor that was isolated fewer than 5,000 years ago from the parent stock in Lake Nagu Gabo. The evidence for speciation, in this case, was morphology, or physical appearance, and lack of natural interbreeding. These fish have complex mating rituals and a variety of colorations. The slight modifications introduced in the new species have changed the mate selection process, and the five forms that arose could not be convinced to interbreed. Mechanism. The theory of evolution is widely accepted among the scientific community, serving to link the diverse specialty areas of biology. Evolution provides the field of biology with a solid scientific base. The significance of evolutionary theory is best described by the title of a paper by Theodosius Dobzhansky, 1900-1975, published in American Biology Teacher. Quote, "Nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution." End quote. Nevertheless, the theory of evolution is not static. There is much discussion within the scientific community concerning the mechanisms behind the evolutionary process. For example, the rate at which evolution occurs is still under discussion. In addition, there are conflicting opinions as to which is the primary unit of evolutionary change, the organism or the gene. Rate of change. Darwin and his contemporaries viewed evolution as a slow and gradual process. Evolutionary trees are based on the idea that profound differences in species are the result of many small changes that accumulate over long periods. Gradualism had its basis in the works of the geologist James Hutton, 1726-1797, and Charles Lyell, 1797-1875. Hutton's view suggests that profound geological change was the cumulative product of a relatively slow continuing operation of processes, which still can be seen in operation today, as opposed to catastrophism, which promoted the idea that sudden changes had causes which can no longer be seen at work. A uniformitarian perspective was adopted for biological changes. Such a view can seem to contradict the fossil record, which often shows evidence of new species appearing very suddenly, then persisting in that form for long periods. In the 1970s, paleontologists Niles Eldridge and Stephen Jay Gould developed a theoretical model that suggests that evolution, although a slow process in human terms, undergo periods of relatively rapid change, ranging between 50,000 and 100,000 years, alternating with long periods of relative stability. Their theory is called, quote, punctuated equilibrium, end quote, and explains the fossil record without contradicting Darwin's ideas. Unit of change. A common unit of selection in evolution is the organism. Natural selection occurs when the reproductive success of an individual is improved or reduced by an inherited characteristic, and reproductive success is measured by the number of an individual's surviving offspring. The organism view has been challenged by a variety of biologists as well as philosophers. Richard Dawkins, born 1941, proposes that much insight can be gained if we look at evolution from the gene's point of view. That is, natural selection operates as an evolutionary mechanism on genes as well as organisms. In his 1976 book, The Selfish Gene, he explains, quote, "Individuals are not stable things. They are fleeting. Chromosomes, too, are shuffled to oblivion, like hands of cards, soon after they are dealt. But the cards themselves survive the shuffling. The cards are the genes. The genes are not destroyed by crossing over. They merely change partners and march on. Of course they march on. That is their business. They are the replicators, and we are their survival machines. When we have served our purpose, we are cast aside. But genes are denizens of geological times. Genes are forever." End quote. others view selection working on many levels, not just at a single level of organism or gene. For example, Stephen Jay Gould called for a hierarchical perspective on selection. We now come to the end of the last part, that is, part 4 of the spoken article, Introduction to Evolution. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 Unported License, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0.